from Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios, out in support of their newest release called Walk Into a Storm, the band The Lone Bellow. From my left to my right, Kaneen Pipkin, Zach Williams, Brian Emquist. Hello.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hello.
Thanks so much for coming by. It's nice to meet all of you in person.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
In a lot of the bio material for you guys, you are referred to as a Brooklyn trio, though none of you are originally from there and none of you live there now. Is that true?
We were there for 10 years. That's where the band got started.
Does it feel like home, or does home feel elsewhere for you guys?
Yeah.
It feels like home.
Feels like home.
Yeah.
Where are each of you from originally?
I'm from Virginia, Fredericksburg, Virginia.
I'm from Acworth, Georgia.
And I'm from a one stoplight town, Sandersville, Georgia.
How did you all end up in Brooklyn?
I went up there to try to pursue music, play the bars, hand out my CDs.
Yeah.
And try to push my MySpace page.
Oh, those were cool.
I heard the Frank Sinatra song, New York.
I mean, you guys are all from the South generally, and yeah. You met in yeah. Brooklyn. How did the three of you all come together? You didn't know each other before meeting in Brooklyn?
They had known each other. They met in college.
We've been really good friends since we were like 18.
Oh, right on.
And then Kaneen and I sang in her older brother's wedding together, and that's basically where we met. And but that was years before The Lone Bellow. And her husband Jason, who's also in the band, moved to New York
from China. We were living in Beijing, and when I sang in my brother's wedding with Zach, he MySpace meshes me. A lot of MySpace references. But he was like, hey, will you come sing with me in New York? And I was like, I live in Asia. He was like, never mind.
I still message people on MySpace daily.
I do too. Nobody ever answers.
What was the guy? Was it Tom?
Oh, yeah.
Tom.
Everybody's first friend.
Tom and JT.
Yeah.
So did you know immediately when the three of you guys got together that a band was in the near future? Or did it take a while of getting to know one another and getting to know each other's likes and dislikes musically?
Well, we knew each other. We had different bands. In New York, he was in Nashville before that. But yeah, really, honestly, the first time we ever sang together, it was like, well, for me personally, I was like, I don't want to do my other band anymore. Like, after the first verse of the song.
Yeah, I think it was pretty instantaneous for all of us.
I think we were in the studio 6 months after that, to be honest with you.
For that first record.
Fast. Yeah.
What kind of stuff did each one of you bring to the band? Kaneen, I remember reading some interviews about you and having grown up with a gospel singing background, or at least in church.
Yeah,
singing.
Yeah. The church I grew up in, we met in the attic of a bluegrass instrument shop, and it was a cross-cultural church, so we sang like pretty much all gospel music. So.
Sounds sort of like church in quotes, like if you met at a bluegrass music shop.
I mean, it was awesome. The floors were super old, and people would be clapping and stomping, and the floors would all bounce in rhythm with the songs. But I took a lot of vocal lessons and sang a lot in choirs, and spent like, you know, my whole growing up learning how to sing with people. So I think bring a little bit of that.
How about you guys?
I brought Mr. Feelings. He's a little mouse in my pocket.
Do feel everything. Just pit it.
Is that the name of your journal, Mr.
Hello.
It's Moleskine's name, Mr.
He was actually a mole.
Me and Zach were working on some songs that he was, I just wanted to like contribute. I really liked what he was working on. And when we sang together, I mean, going back to the same story, me and him was going to pick something up in Williamsburg, and he looked at me and he was like, this is better than what we're doing. And I said, yeah. So we were, I wanted to bring a big guitar to the situation. That's what I've kind of.
He brings the shred.
For. Right on.
The shredder.
Well, I would love to hear some music. The Lone Bellow are my guests live today here on Jefferson Public Radio. Their newest record is called Walk Into a Storm. Kaneen Pipkin, Zach Williams, Brian Elmquist in the studio. What do you guys want to do first today?
This is a song called Deeper in the Water.
I break my back to make a name. Every man here done the same. What's happening here? What's happening here? The pavement cracks beneath my feet. Spirit rising with the heat. What's happening here? What's happening here? I'll like to think I'm a survivor, but my skin is getting tired. I go
deeper in the water.
Oh, I go
deeper in the water.
I like to think I'm a survivor, but my bones are getting tired. I go
deeper in the water.
Oh, I go
deeper in the water.
I feel the pounding of the clock. Ground beneath me starts to rock. You do your best to make it stop. What's happening here? I try to stand on my two feet, try to keep up with the beat. What's happening here? What's happening here? I like to think I'm a survivor, but my skin is getting tired. I go
deeper in the water.
Oh, I go
deeper in the water.
I like to think I'm a survivor, but my bones are getting tired. I go
deeper in the water.
Oh, got no sickness, got no disease, except for the heart inside of me.
That's called Deeper in the Water. It's Lone Bellow live today here on Jefferson Public Radio. Their new release is called Walk Into a Storm. So at a certain point, you guys talked about having been in Brooklyn for almost 10 years, something like that. But Nashville was a draw. It was a place. You guys all individually, and you have families, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't just that the three of you on a whim decided the band's going to relocate to Nashville. It was a much bigger decision.
Oh, yeah.
Why Nashville? Did all of you come to that conclusion about the same time?
Yeah. It definitely, it was never like a, let's all do this. There was a freedom of like, if you want to stay in Brooklyn or move to, you know, New Jersey, whatever, whatever. I was drawn to Nashville because I have four kids and we were having to stay out longer and longer to make the touring work, and I would come home and they would be different. And, I started talking to like some mentors of mine and our agent, who's like a older guy that's been booking shows for like 300 years, and and he drew me this little map, and he put Nashville in the middle of his hand, and then he drew like a kind of like a daisy around it, and Nashville was like the brown part
for the different tour legs, right?
He was like, these are the different tour legs that you can do if you live in Nashville, and this whale. This is what happens if you live in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh. So we're able to be home way more. So it's at least for these 18 years while the kids are in the house, like as much as we love Brooklyn, you kind of have to weigh out what's the biggest priority.
Yeah. Do you feel like the city has affected your music, your songwriting, or your singing or performing?
Absolutely, I would say.
You talking about Brooklyn or Nashville?
Nashville.
Nashville.
Yeah.
I'm just thankful for the community in Nashville, to be honest with you. I don't know if we've got to a place where we're like, you know, let's go meet at the honky tonk and I'm gonna play a song with you kind of thing. I've done a couple of those things, but it's mainly just like everybody kind of understands what you're doing.
Yeah.
So like the conversation about music, especially with the people in our circle, kind of got taken off the table sometimes, and you just like get to the heart of the matter.
Really,
and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like whenever we'd get home in Brooklyn, everybody'd be like, "Oh, it was so hard, right?" And it's kind of like everybody's kind of in it together in Nashville, and understand what you're. The work you do, and try to make it as easy as possible.
There's a lot of other families that have the same like setup as we do. So like my kid's counselor at their school, her husband tours for a living, and she always knows when I'm on tour, and she like looks out for my wife. And there's other wives, like I don't know. There's just like other spouses. It's a really understood thing.
Yeah.
So that's
like extended
really cool.
family almost.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I, you know, I think that's like 60 years in the making in Nashville. I mean,
yeah.
It's been like a thing.
Well, a couple of connections you guys have made over the years, and it's a pretty amazing streak, is producers. Charlie Peacock, Aaron Dessner, Dave Cobb. Who's next? T-Bone or Rick Rubin or somebody like that? I mean, you guys have worked with some of the best, most in-demand folks that are out there making records. You guys must have great connections to people or just incredibly good luck.
I think it's just really good luck.
Really?
I think so.
I think it's just because Brian's so good looking.
Yeah. I show my leg on them album covers.
Just a little touch.
It has worked out like that. Like, we've reached out to them and somehow they were open. And I think all three times they were the ones we wanted to pick, you know?
Yeah.
So. Like the last time, Mike Anderson from Anderson East was working on a new record with Cobb, and I called him, and like I totally had full intention of just like talking to Cobb about maybe making a record. I was like, "Hey, what are you doing over at the studio?" He's like, "Working." I was like, "That's cool, man. What song are you singing?" He's like, "Do you want to come and sing on it?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." So I came over there and we sang. He was like, "Just go and talk to him. I know that's why you're here." I was like, "The song sounds good though, man." He's like,
"Okay." You're so smooth.
Can we hear another song? What do you guys want to do next? Yeah. The Lynn Beller and my guests live.
This is another song that we recorded at RCA with Cobb. It's called
"Come Break My Heart Again."
Come Break My Heart Again.
It's the Lynn Beller live on Jefferson Public Radio.
Come break my heart. watching you slam the door makes all the wrong feel good. Come break my heart again, so
it's called Come Break My Heart Again. It's the Lone Bellow live today here on JPR. Their newest release is called Walk Into a Storm. That record recorded at RCA Studio A, right? The venerable recording studio. You guys had time booked at that studio and then rehab happened.
Yeah.
And that recording period was somewhat in jeopardy, almost might not have happened.
Yeah.
Tell me about that process for you guys, the decision to just stick together, stick it out, figure it out, and the end result, which is this brilliant album.
I think there's two perspectives, because there was one for me where I reached out for help, and like there was a couple different ways I could get it. And I talked to the guys, and we all sat down, and also our booking agent, which is one of, like, he is a guardian angel for us in so many ways.
Jonathan Levine.
He's the man. He is the man. But we all sat down, and we're like, I presented my options to him, and they were like, well, we'll just figure it out. And I was like, okay, well, I'll do this, and I'll, like, get help. And I did that. And then I kind of just got out of the conversation. I just let them figure it out. And there was a lot of work after that for them to make sure it happened, but it, you know, and that's, they can tell that part of it. But, I think for me, my perspective of seeing, like, we talk a big game about being good friends and like wanting to be there for each other, and the rubber met the road and they allowed the space for me to like do what I needed to do. And that's my perspective on the thing, and then they took the...
Yeah, I mean, he went to rehab, like, I think the first day was the first day that we had scheduled to go and record with Cobb. So I called Jonathan, and I was like, what should we do? And he was like, if you put work before your friend, he's like, I'll make sure you never play another live show. I was like, God, I love you. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to call Cobb. And he was like, I'm going to call him first. And so he called Cobb, and then I called him. And I didn't know him at all. We had just moved to town. I was like, oh, my gosh, RCA Studios has never sat empty before, ever, you know. And Cobb was just incredibly gracious. And he was like, you know what? I worked with Isbell right after he got out of rehab. I know how important this is. We're going to figure this out. We're going to let Brian get help. And if I gotta work weekends and nights, we're gonna do this. And he moved some stuff around and was incredibly gracious with us and everybody at the studio. And I just felt like we were just like the recipients of this like real kindness.
That's awesome.
And that made it. That was another part of moving to Nashville where I was like, whoa, because there was this other people called Music Cares that I never heard about that like came along and helped us as well. And
I asked a couple questions, and like our whole a whole group help was all around. It was incredible. So I mean, everybody jumped in. And I mean, when I got out and we got in the studio, I felt like, I don't know, for me at least, it was like some kind of like celebration that I don't know if we were, I don't know if I was even ready to do for the record. Mm. And felt like that made it into the record, you know.
Yeah. Well, the record was certainly at risk a little bit. Was there ever a moment where you thought the band was going to be at risk?
Not really.
Not through that process, no. We've had other moments where we're like,
I am sick of you.
Well, you guys ended up with a couple of songs from that period too, Brian. I know you wrote one during that time. Zach, I think you wrote one during that time about just the experiences of your interpersonal communication with one another and coming together as a family. I would love to hear another tune. Before you do that, though, there is two additional members of the band, right? You guys are now a five-piece. One of them, Kenyon, is your husband, who has been part of the band almost from the beginning?
Pretty much, yeah.
And yet it's just the three of you in all the photos. He gets no credit.
He's too good-looking. He makes the rest of us look bad.
I would imagine that enables you to do quite a bit that you're not able to do is just the three of you, right? How do you work the rhythm section, so to speak, right? Drums, bass, into what you do so that it doesn't just sound like the Lone Bellows acoustic stuff with drum track? Like, what do you to turn those into a full band?
They're drums and bass and electric guitars and synthesizers and keys on all the records.
Yeah.
But I think we work really hard to keep it still a really dynamic live show, and having a rhythm section only helps that, you know. It helps it go from pin drop quiet moments where it's just the three vocals and maybe a guitar to like super bombastic huge sound that could fill, you know, any kind of space we're in.
So I think it always comes back to serving the song and like the vocals the best way we can, and so everything's kind of built around that.
Yeah, and the whole experience of the show, we like have a nice ride of, you know, drama, I guess.
And I just want to dance.
Zach, you mentioned four kids. Like, between the three of you, there are what, seven of them now?
We're almost a baseball team?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
close. That has to have an effect on your ability to get out and travel and play.
Yeah.
And your desire to finish those tour legs and get home.
Yeah.
I was up at 3:30 this morning with Kenyon's my baby.
You've got one out with you, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's almost 9 months old. So.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks.
I was just going to say, a couple years ago when I had my first, I like realized this new thing that like I felt more directed, like more like, because I had this kid, like when we're out, like, wanted to make the best of it. And that's kind of like what our family does. You out, you do your best, and then you come home and do the same thing, basically. But, yeah.
Right on. I would love to hear another tune. You have one more for us?
Yeah, yes. This is It Ever Gonna Be Easy?
Is it ever gonna be easy? Try so hard. Know the hum of your voice should be the sweetest sound, but I can never really get your feet up off the ground. Is it ever gonna be easy? Try so hard, please release me. Got the softest lips, but the sharpest mouth. Always ready with 100 different ways to cut me down. Get my back on straight, keep my feet fast forward. Lift my hands up high. Let the light get wet on the hardest day. Then I hear you say, is it ever gonna be easy? Try so hard, please release me. Try to reach for your hand, but there's no code to touch. Try to be a better man, but I don't try all that much. Is it ever gonna be easy? Is it ever gonna be easy? Thank you.
try to say the things that I said before that would make you smile. But the language, babe, that we used to speak has been dead for a while. Is it ever gonna be easy? Is it ever gonna be easy? Oh, is it ever gonna be easy? Is it ever gonna be easy? Is it ever gonna be easy?
That's Alone Bello, playing live today here on Jefferson Public Radio. Their newest release is called Walk Into a Storm. It's Kaneen Pipkin, Zach Williams, Brian Elmquist in the studio today. Guys, thanks again for doing this. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thanks, man.
Me too.